G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 149. And just before we get started today, a couple of quick thank yous and acknowledgements. A thank you to you, the listener, for supporting the podcast right around the world in some 47 countries. We've had over 1 million downloads of the podcast now right around the world. And thank you for all the feedback and reviews and so forth. It's been fantastic and it's really heartwarming and it's appreciated. Okay, folks, also to those out there that have been buying my book, The Fasting Highway, over the last couple of years, thank you. I'm glad it's resonated with thousands of people around the world and it's helped them get started on their own intermittent fasting journey to see it can actually work just for an ordinary everyday person like myself and what it's like to actually live an intermittent fasting lifestyle, how to get through it step by step without all the fluff involved, and just a very simple process and a simple read. That's my book, The Fasting Highway. Okay, folks, let's get going with today's guest, and I'm going to be speaking with the amazing Ava Brody. You may remember Ava was back on the podcast in episode 57, some 18 months ago now, and obviously a lot's happened since then, and Ava's going to fill us in on how her intermittent fasting journey has progressed. And Ava is from the United Kingdom, where she lives with her husband, Terry. And Ava is also a moderator of the Fasting Highway Facebook group, and she's a very inspirational person. So make sure you've got your pen and paper handy, because here she is to give us an update, Ava Brody.
Oh, g'day, Ava, and welcome back to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me.
It's great to be here, Graham. Thank you for inviting me again.
Great to have you back, Ava. And for people out there that might want to catch up with Ava's original episode, they can go back to episode 57. On the 29th of March, 2021, some 18 months ago now, Ava, a while back. So given that, why don't we just recap sort of your fasting story, if you like, your sort of background, and sort of how you found out about IF and how you got going. If people want to find the full extended version, they can go back and listen to the original podcast. Well, let's just recap that, and then we'll pick up where you've been and what you've been doing in the last 18 months.
Okay, great. Thank you, Graham. Yes, well, I think I've been dieting all my life. As I said in the first podcast, I was a very skinny child. I was very fortunate to be one of those children that could eat absolutely anything. I could eat anything and I would never put on weight. And as a child, you don't really think about your weight. And it wasn't until I got to the age of around sort of 18, 19, that I started to fill out. And I couldn't understand why, you know, why have I got all of a sudden got a waist and got hips. It wasn't too bad around that age. And then I got to around about 30, and that's when the real problem started. So from about 30 to about 45, I spent a lot of time sort of joining slimming clubs. I went into my first slimming club, I think I was around 17, and by rights, the instructor, she shouldn't have let me join because I think I was around about half a stone overweight, and I don't know why I got it into my head that I needed to lose weight. But anyway, off I went to Weight Watchers, and that was it. That was like a roller coaster for the next 20 years, going into in and out of, you know, clubs, slimming clubs, Rosemary Connolly, the slimming club, Weight Watchers. You name it, I joined it. I had little success, but then the weight would always, as soon as I stopped, I would always put the weight back on. I've always been active. I've always done sort of like to keep myself, you know, pretty active. And that didn't seem to work. I was doing a lot of, I joined a gym. I was doing a lot of walking, doing a lot of gymming. But because I was eating the wrong kind of foods, a lot of processed food, that's where, now I know, I didn't know it then, but now I know that was the problems that I was to, you know, have for a long time. And when I say processed food, it was sugar. Sugar was the what I call the kryptonite. I couldn't stop eating sugar. Anything that has sugar in it, I ate it. And I'd even skip my meals, my main meal, and have a cake or a pudding, a dessert of any kind. There wasn't much that I didn't like. So that went on, and I ballooned. I went sort of around about 40, between 40 and 50, I sort of went, put on about 2 stone. I'm not sure what that is in kilos. It's from a size, I was always a size 8, and I ballooned up to a size, about a size 6, 14, 16. And for me, I think I just, it was just a blur. I didn't have photographs taken. I didn't want to be in pictures. I was always the one behind the camera. And fast forward now to 2016, and I came across Dr. Jason Fung, and the obesity code, and I was fascinated in that. Prior to that, I'd always buy all the slimming magazines, any magazine that came out that was around weight or diet or health, I'd spend fortunes on that. Anyway, so when I bought when I found Jason Fung, I was fascinated. I couldn't believe that, people could not eat for 24 hours or 16 hours. To me, that was alien. So I sort of, again, jumped on board with that. But again, I was fasting, but I wasn't clean fasting, and I was eating whatever I wanted. I was still having lots of sugar, lots of sweets, cans of Diet Coke in my window, and herbal tea, all flavours, with sweeteners in, and saccharine, Canderel. I tried all the sweeteners on the market. I tried. Then it was 2016 for a few years, and then lockdown happened. Up until then, I'd been in and out of fasting. I wouldn't say I was 100%. February 2020, lockdown happened, and so you do a lot of surfing, not on the internet. You've got more time to go on to, searching for things on the internet. And I came across Jean Stevens, and again, I read the book, and it was almost like she was saying to clean fast. And I thought, oh, I've been doing it all wrong. And I was disappointed, but I was on my way to, to something new. And then through Jean, I found you. And as I said in the first podcast, when I found your book, because I'm a simple person, I'm a simple kind of woman, I don't like anything that's fussy or complicated. I can't get my head around it. And your book was just a breath of fresh air. It was... wrote it in layman terms, if you know what that means. It was just easy to follow, and I thought, wow, that's completely different to what Jason Fung has said and Jean Stevens has said. It was about you, and as I say, for you to lose 132 pounds in 14 months, I was like wow. And I was fighting with probably about 27, 28 kilos. That blew my mind. So I read the book pretty fast, and I went straight into 23-1, and the weight started to, prior to that, my weight would come down, up and down, like a yo-yo again. But with your book, it seemed to resonate with me more so than anything else. And I was able to go into clean fasting, love the clean fast. It was just the 23 hours of not having to think about anything but black coffee and water, because I don't drink tea. So for me, it was just black water, a black coffee and water, and I loved it. And having the restaurant style meals, you know, the starter, the main, and desserts, I just love that. And it's sort of a pretty quickly that I was noticing, not necessarily the weight at first. It was more for me the inches. Inches started to come down, and the non-scale victories started to. I started to notice things like I used to have arthritis in my thumb that went, and I had lots of skin tags. That was, you know, I was about to go and get them checked with the doctor, and they just disappeared. It was, every morning, I was like, "Oh, where's that one gone?" It was just, you know, it would just go. So yeah, it's been a fascinating journey so far.
Obviously, 18 months, a fair bit of period of time since you're on the podcast. Lots happened, of course. So let's talk about that. I mean, where did you sort of get to when you sort of last on the podcast? Just fill listeners in where you sort of started, what your weight was, where your weight is now, and sort of what you're looking forward to ahead now with your fasting journey.
Yeah, when I spoke to you 18 months ago, I think it was around... I was around 14 pounds to my target. But as I say, because I've lost quite a lot of inches, I lost 7 inches back then off my waist, and I've gone on to lose another 2. So I've lost like 9 inches from my waist. I started at 167 pounds. I'm now around about 125 pounds. So I think that's 76 kilos. And 56, I think I'm about 56 now. I always work in stones and pounds here. So yeah, I went on to lose quite a bit. I've gone from a size 16 to a size 8. So you know, that's been a big difference for me. I'd like to lose another 10 pounder there, but I'm happy where I am. I'm comfortable. I no longer have diet brain. I no longer think about, you know, what I can't eat. I always think what I can eat and what I, you know, what's good for me, what's good for my body, what serves me well. And it's just been, the 18 months have been amazing on this journey. It's like night and day, because I now have more focus on me to, you know, do more traveling, which I enjoy. Me and my husband enjoy traveling. And just to be able to, you know, to go on to go away on holiday and not have to worry about, prior to fasting, I would sort of try to lose X amount of weight before I went on holiday, go on holiday and then blow it all out of the water and just eat and drink whatever I wanted, come back 10 pounds overweight, and the cycle would start. Now, when I go away, it's completely different. I tend to maintain a 16-hour fast every day on holiday, and nobody even bats an eyelid. No one blinks. No one says, "Oh, what are you doing? Why are you not eating?" It's completely different. You know, it's been one of the most enjoyable times of my life. You know, I can honestly say that.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic, Ava. Well, let's strip it back a bit. Let's talk about your sort of relationship with food prior to you came along to intermittent fasting. You mentioned there you had some issues with sugar. Everything was sugar you loved, and you ate in great quantities. You've done all those sort of, you know, weight loss company sort of programs and diet roller coaster like so many of us have done in our lives. Now you've come to intermittent fasting. You first heard about it in 2016, and then you got up to sort of 220 when lockdown happened. And thank you very much for mentioning about my book, The Fasting Highway. And I think it does resonate with people like ourselves, Ava, that have had problems with sugar or that sort of thing in our life. And also the simplicity of it, which is what I loved. And that's the first thing that attracted me to intermittent fasting, was that it was simple. And like you, I ate after 5 o'clock. I ate in a period of time. I ate till I was satisfied, not stuffed. I ate food that made me feel great, not what my mind wanted. And then the pendulum started to swing. And over time, my sort of food choices changed until virtually I became a food snob, which I'm not ashamed to say that, because compared to what I was eating before, I think what I'm doing for my body now is a great service. And just run us through that. Has your sort of taste changed over this sort of journey, Ava, as far as food goes?
Yes, definitely. As I say, when I first read your book, what also resonated with me was that I was a sugar addict. And I think prior to that, I think that's why I had a problem with fasting, because I would always, in my window, I'd always have sugar, I'd always have cake or some processed food. But when you said that you felt, when you went through your phase of giving up sugar, you went cold turkey. I totally believe that. A lot of people can't do it, and it is hard. It is hard to do it if you've been addicted to sugar. But I can honestly say that was the turnaround point for me, was to go cold turkey and not have get rid of my issue with sugar. And after reading your book, that was it. Sugar went out just completely. Refined sugar. I've never had sugar in my coffee or tea, or anything like that. But it was in the food. So I went the chocolate, the sweets, the cakes, and processed foods. And within about 3 or 4 days, I had a headache. I felt a bit sick, a bit nauseated, very, very lethargic. And it took me about 10 days for me to get over the sugar. And I totally would advise anybody who has got an issue, whether it's alcohol, whether it's sugar, to try and focus on that. I think too many people focus on that, getting the fast right. But if you can get rid of your, as I say, kryptonite, sugar for me was the key. My taste buds now have changed so much that even if I have a little, I do occasionally have, I've just had a birthday and I had a bit of cake and it was so sweet. I couldn't even finish. I think I had 2 spoons of it and that was it. I couldn't finish it. Yes, my taste buds have definitely changed.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, Ava, what you said about sugar then, and I agree with you 100%. I think I always say to people, if you have a problem with addiction to sugar, addiction to fast food, or just food issues in general, deal with them first before you start intermittent fasting, because intermittent fasting is a very radical way of changing of what we've known all our lives in terms of how we eat and when we eat. And so trying to deal with the two things at the same time is very difficult. And I always say to people, look, if you've got a sugar problem, cut it off at the knees. Go through the withdrawal, like Ava was talking about, and like you read in my book there, Ava. I call it going to war. It was a war. I was in the trenches. It was me versus sugar. I spent 2 days in bed with the doona over my head. And you can ask my wife, Lou, how I was for those 2 weeks. And it wasn't very pleasant to be around. And it was a horrible thing. But I knew that I was coming out of it. And once I started coming out of it, I then felt good. I was able to focus on the food side of things and then look for something that was sustainable, like intermittent fasting. And that's how it worked for me. And I'm sure you were pretty similar, even though you had a bit of a background with fasting, you just didn't know that about the clean fast and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I agree. Sugar is a real curse for a lot of people out there. And it's something you need to deal with first, because if you carry it into an intermittent fasting lifestyle and then start having it in your window and it gets out of control, we're not complementing that clean fast. All you're doing is fasting and then filling up on sugar and everything else. And then you're not seeing those results that you want and finding that wellness and the health benefits. And I think that's a great thing, what you said, Ava. But let's talk about your fasting protocol now. You mentioned you went straight into the 23-and-1 back in 2020 during lockdown, sort of after you read my book. And how did that change over the last 18 months, or has it changed? Are you still a nomad person?
Yes, I'm still a nomad, but I've gone from sort of 23-1. I tend to do 24 now, 24. But I still have that start to main over a long period of time. And obviously my stomach shrunk. I now know my full signal, more so than anything. And now if once I'm done, I'm done. Whereas initially I'd continue in my three meals that I had, I sort of have them in and out within the hour, and I felt I was a bit rushed because I'm quite a slow eater. So from going from eating within an hour, I tend to spread it now over 4 hours, and I feel much better by doing that. I think a lot of people, when they do 23-1, they think they can, in that 1 hour, they can eat for the whole hour, or they have to have one plate of food. And you don't. You can have, like we say, you can have your starter, you have your main, and if you want a dessert, I mean, sometimes my dessert is a cappuccino. I have it with almond milk, unsweetened almond milk. I don't necessarily have, or I might have some berries or some strawberries or a fruit salad, but sometimes I just have a coffee because I'm done, you know. And I think it's crucial to listen to your full signal, because I no longer eat more than I need. And I think a lot of people will, it's difficult because if we're all foodies, you know, we all love food. And it's easy to just continue to eat even when you're full. But the key is to stop eating when you're full. And that's what I've learned more so, you know, sort of in the later stage of my fasting. And I enjoy food more now. And I am a very fussy eater.
I think fasting for most people, you know, the thought of it, I mean, even myself, when I first thought of fasting, I thought, well, that's crazy. Who does that? Who only eats once a day? I mean, I'm a guy that eats 40 times a day. How am I going to eat once a day? That's nuts. But when I really looked into it, and again, I like the simplicity of it, and that's the thing that drew me to fasting. This all you do, you just wait till a certain point of the day, you eat till full, not stuffed, you repeat the process the next day, you make sure you're hydrated, drink plenty of water, and away you go. Nothing could be more simple, Ava. Would you agree?
Absolutely. That's what I love about fasting, is that prior to fasting, it would be constantly breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, evening meal, snack, going to bed on a full stomach, getting up the next day and repeating it. And, you know, I had the same once, was I'm fed up of eating, I'm fed up of food, but I will still continue to eat. So for me, the simplicity about just choosing the time that you eat, and the time has to suit you. It has to fit into your lifestyle. And I love that about fasting, that you can, whether you're a morning person, afternoon or evening, you can fit your food into that time and eat what serves your body well. And once you've done, that window gets closed and that's it. You can go on and do, I've done so much more with my life in the last 18 months. Now it's not evolved around food and eating and, you know, cooking, you know, all the washing up that goes with it and the cleaning up and everything. That's just, it frees up your time more. Yeah.
There's so many things that happen, Ava, in this lifestyle, and it keeps surprising you every day, don't they? But Ava, let's talk about exercise now. I know you're a person who likes to exercise and you've been on some great holidays, as you said. We'll talk about that in a minute. But how has exercise changed for you over this journey?
Well, I'm doing a lot more than I did. I've always been active, but now I do hiking. I do more hiking. Where we live, we've got tracks at the back of our house. I mean, my husband and the dog, Holly, we go and we take a hike out. I've joined a gym. I do boot camp. I do hula hooping, which is fun. I've got more energy. I've got more at the age of 65. I've got more energy than I was when I was 40. So for me to be at this age and still active and still, you know, still fit and healthy, I feel amazing, absolutely amazing around activities. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned there you were 65, and I've been a gentleman that I am. I didn't want to ask you your age, but 65, Ava, I'm sitting here looking at you on the screen. I seriously think, would have thought if I didn't know that you're a woman in her late 40s, maybe your mid 40s. And you look fantastic. And I mean, it's just incredible. And often people will say to me, you know what, Graham, I'm 50 or 60 or in my early 60s. It's too late. I'm not going to start intermittent fasting. I'm not going to give up being a sugar addict because it's too late. I'm too old. So let's talk about that. I mean, we're taught, is it too late to start IF at any age?
Never. It's never too late to start fasting. It will be one of the most beneficial, important things of your life. Going into older age, none of us want to, you know, have all the aches and the pains and ill health You know, that's, you want to have, you want to live your best life, whether you're 20 or whether you're 80. And for me, to be at any age, if you get into fasting, you will be absolutely, you'll be amazed at how, even if you have a little few ailments, you know, when I started clean fasting in 2020, I had a few issues with arthritis, I had stomach issues. I no longer have those issues. They just seem to, you know, when I tell people that, I think they don't believe me, and they know that, you know, I wouldn't say something that I didn't mean, but they were astonished when I saw people had I was going through a test at the doctors. I'd been to the hospital. I'd had many tests for stomach problems. The doctors couldn't find anything was wrong. I had scans. And within sort of 3 months of IF, it was gone. No problems whatsoever. And I went back to the doctors as a follow-up, and I said, it's not there anymore. And they couldn't believe it. And I told them that I started fasting, and the doctor, you know, he didn't know about fasting, and he just said, well, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. Arthritis in my hand, in my thumb, that's just disappeared. So with age, with fasting, as you age, it was so beneficial, you know, for anybody at any age.
I think so. And I think what it does is that people are of poor health, say in their 40s, 50s, whatever, and they take up something like intermittent fasting, which is highly successful for so many people. And then you're setting yourself up for longevity. That's the way I feel. You might have noticed I put something in the group today. I honestly felt like I was going to be dead by the age of 60, right, the way I was going. I was, you know, 350-pound guy, chronic sugar addict, chronic fast food addict. And I knew that my life was going to be short. And I never thought that I was going to live past 60 at one stage. And now here I am knocking on the door of that. And I feel now that I've got a shot at living to 100. I just feel that good. And I always say, feeling good is feeling great, right? And I think fasting is one of those things where we look at it, and no matter what, well, sometimes people get a bit of kickback towards fasting. And let's talk about that for a minute. Support networks. I mean, obviously, your loving husband, Terry, there, that's been a pillar of strength for you right throughout this journey. And I'm sure he's immensely proud of you, Ava. Has the support networks always been good? Have you had any kickback from anybody, or has the support been relatively pretty good?
Yeah. Some of my family say, well, fasting, you can't, I could never do that. My sister, bless her, she said, oh, that's so unhealthy. And she's one of these that she wouldn't, you know, she won't listen. But yeah, pretty much so. Terry, my husband, as I say, is wonderful. He's been so supportive. And I also have a little Facebook group. It's the people that I run with, and about four or five of them actually bought your book and are actually fasting. So we've got a little support group going on. And so I've had the support from them. And yeah, I've had no obstacles really with people. People say, oh, you know, you're looking really good. And if I get an opportunity to tell them about fasting, I don't push it into people. I don't push it onto people. But if someone asks me, I will go into it and tell them. And a lot of people are interested in fasting, because as we say, it's free, doesn't cost anything. And they, you know, they're willing to give it a try. A lot of people, oh gosh, I could never do that. And, you know, but support network I've had has been good.
I say to people that give me pushback or whatever, I say, look, all I'm doing is delaying in the day to when I eat. That's as simple as that. I'm you fast. And that's my first thing I say to people that give me pushback. You fast too. And they go, no, we don't. I say, yes, you do. You go to bed at night, you sleep. You sleep for 8 hours, you're not eating, you're fasting. You wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you have? Breakfast. How do you spell that? Break fast. You're breaking your fast from your overnight rest. That's why breakfast was made that way and entitled that way. So everybody in the world fasts, Ava. We just take it to the next level where we just sort of delay it to a point of time, give our organs a rest from digestion, take out all the trash, as I like to say to people, you know, regenerate our skin cells, all these magical things that happen, like you mentioned, your arthritis, the skin tags. People look at you and they think you're crazy when you tell them stuff like that. You know, your hair regrows, All these sorts of things. Eyesight better. So many things. And, you know, it's just incredible these things that happen, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. Yes, definitely. You know, talk about hair growth. My hair's just growing and growing and growing. It's like when I see my family, they say to me, look at your hair. It's growing so long. And it's you know, my nails used to be brittle and, you know, and break. They're now, they're like, you know, they're so healthy. And people just are amazed at the things that happen, and you think that it'll be amazing enough for them to jump on it, you know, jumping on fasting. But I think everyone will do it in their own. Somebody will resonate with them, and they'll start to fast. I believe it's not, like you say, it's not mainstream, but it definitely is getting out there. There's a lot more people, you know, and the medical profession, you know, going into it and looking more into it. And it's just getting out there, isn't it? It's just getting it out for people to know it and just to start. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, fasting, that means you've got to starve yourself for 20, 25 hours. You don't, you know, you start fasting. You can start with 10 hours. Start doing a 10-hour clean fast. You jump it up for another hour. You know, build up slowly. You don't need to rush into a 23-hour, because that's when people may give up because they think it's too hard to not eat for 23 hours. You know, they've just got to start somewhere. And people who do jump in at 23, they can, you know, they go in it and they do it. It's everyone, we're all different at the way we start fasting. But as long as we keep fasting, keep doing it, the benefits will be amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a case of finding your own sort of comfort zone, really, when you start, whether that be 10 hours or 12 hours or 14 hours, 16 hours, whatever. Don't worry about the length of the fast. Just worry about what you can do and you feel comfortable with, and then move into sort of, you know, higher fast as you go along and you get used to fasting. But the first thing to do is nail that clean fast. When we talk about a clean fast, what we're talking about there, Ava, is black tea, black coffee, water, plain sparkling water, plain green tea. That's it. Nothing else. No flavors, no sweeteners, no chewing gum, no diet drinks, nothing. No cream in your coffee, just that. And that's the clean fast. And if we can nail that part of it first, and then the length of the fast will come later, and then you can suit a bigger protocol that will suit your life and how you live your life and around your family, around your work, around your travel, everything like that. But let's talk about travel. You mentioned your vacations, and I know you've been on a lot of them, Ava. And congratulations, by the way. I know you just celebrated your 65th birthday, and your lovely husband took you away for a lovely sort of trip there. And just tell us about how freeing it is, those vacations, apart from the fact that you're fasting every day, 16 hours usually on vacation, but just the actual flow of the vacation, traveling with, you know, 20 kilos or 45 odd pounds of weight now gone. It must be so much easier to do that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, prior to fasting, when we used to travel, I used to get to the airport if we're traveling abroad, and, you know, we'd head for the food once we'd checked in, and we'd have something to eat and have a drink. Then we'd get on the plane and have probably more drinks, more nibbles, and it was just a constant food. When now it's, I don't think about food. I literally most of the time I go away in a fasted state, so that wherever I'm going, I feel good. I don't have to worry about food. I have my black coffee and water. My husband is a natural faster. He doesn't really eat breakfast. He'll have a cup of tea. And that's it then till lunchtime. He doesn't really bother. So when we're traveling, he's great. He'll say, well, you're not eating. I said, no. And he'll say, well, I'm okay. I'll go with it. And he'll just not eat. And when we actually get away, our holiday is not around food. You know, it's not around, you know, going out and eating ice cream and eating this. We go all day. We can go all day on a hike or a walk and just take water with us. And then in the evening we'll have a nice meal. So I go all day and then go out for a nice restaurant meal and have my food then. So it's much more easier, much more freer, and it's just a different way of life, and I absolutely love it. And I can never see myself doing anything else, especially traveling, because it used to be a nightmare. I used to, as I say, to travel with, you know, being sort of a lot heavier than I am now. Whereas now I can just fit into a nice size 8, you know, trousers, top, feel light, fresh, and travel much more easier. So, yeah.
And it's fantastic and it's free. It's funny, you made me laugh there when you mentioned about food on vacation. And I remember I used to go on vacation and I'd start Googling all the food and the different types of food that were going to be there. I wasn't Googling about the history of the place or what would do there was and adventure-wise. I was looking at the food. Hey, what's the food there, you know? And what's on the menu and what's at the restaurants and, you know, try to get the all-day dining, all that sort of stuff. And it's amazing. None of that even crosses your mind now when you go on vacation with IF. You just think, okay, well, I'm going to fast. But it's important to live life, Ava, and life is to be lived and it's to be enjoyed. So vacations are part of life. So I say to people out there, listen, if you're going on a vacation, don't stress out over it. Just go with the flow. Try to do what Ava was talking about. Get that 14, 16-hour fast in. You know, when you come back from vacation, go right back to what you were doing before, your original protocol, and you'll find that you'll slip straight back into it and you've gained a bit of water weight. Well, so be it. But, you know, you've had a great vacation. You made a lot of great memories with your partner and your family. And so don't stress over vacations. But Ava, let's also talk now about, you know, we often say IF is a simple lifestyle, but it's not that simple for everybody. And there are at times challenges and struggles that we have with it. Not every day is the same. And it's important that we listen to our body. So let's just talk about that, the struggles and challenges that you've had along the way, or those sorts of things where you thought, yeah, today I might just have to open my window a bit earlier.
I think it's when I say fasting is easy, it's not easy for everybody. I found it pretty easy in so much as I will eat and then that's it, I'm done. I tend not to have opened my window early. I tend to, if anything, I go the opposite way. If I'm doing a 20-hour fast, and it gets to that time when I'm eating, I'm not hungry. I think I'll just have a glass of water or a coffee, and because I will not eat if I'm not hungry. I won't have anything because it's easy to do that. It's easy to say, okay, my window's open now. Right, what I'm going to have, and you know, I can't do that because I think if my body's not ready to eat, I've listened to my body and I know whether I want a drink or whether I want food. So if I want a drink, I'll just have a drink of water or a black coffee or whatever. And I know when I'm ready to eat. So I've not had many struggles. I think for me, the key was to get rid of the processed food and get rid of the sugar. That for me, that was spiking my cravings all the time. I could eat 24/7 prior, but once I got rid of that sugar, my appetite completely changed. And I'm also fascinated in how little I eat. I need. I'll only eat this amount and I'm still hungry. No, it's I'll eat and I'm full. And sometimes he says, is that what you're going to eat? And I said, well, I'm full, I'm done. I'm not going to force myself to eat the rest of the food on the plate just because it's on the plate. And sometimes I'll put it up for later, you know, if I fancy it later on. But I very rarely have anything once my window's closed. So I would say to anybody, just try and tune in with your body. Try and tune in with your hunger levels. Am I hungry? From 1 to 10, you know, if it's a 2, just go and grab a drink. If it's a 7 or an 8, then, you know, you need to go and eat probably, but just listen to your body. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, some days are easier than others. Let's face it. You know, we often have those days. I always say there's two types of hunger. There's that head hunger. Man, I'm hungry. I could chase a horse and eat the jockey. And then there's that hunger where we're not feeling right, we're a little bit unsteady, might even be a little bit shaky or dizzy. Well, that's the time to say, hey, you know, I'm going to open my window up here because I need to eat. You've got to listen to your body. And after a while, you become intuitive and you start deciphering between those two types of hunger, which is head hunger and which is belly hunger. It's really important to sort of work that out and try to get to that point where you know the difference between the two, and then you can sort of do it. And I think over time too, you become more of an intuitive type faster. Like you were saying that now you do a 20 and 4, sometimes it might be a bit different. And I'm the same, I don't look at the clock. I just know that I eat at a point in time during the day, but that may change day to day. It's not always exactly the same time. I just say, okay, it's time to eat now, and I eat till I'm satisfied and full. But I always find IF fascinating in terms of we don't need as much food as what we were taught, you know, to sustain ourselves, do we? We just need good quality food. And for me, I always say to people, if you're going to clean fast all day, then you must complement that by eating the food that's going to make you feel the greatest. And I mean, when I say must, I'm not here to tell people what to eat. It's their business what they eat. But at the end of the day, if you want to get the best results out of this and complement that clean fast, eat those foods that make you feel great. Know the trigger foods that send you over. And speaking of trigger foods, you mentioned sugar and other sort of stuff. Was that something you learned along the way too, Ava, which sort of food affected your weight? And do you weigh each day, or are you a daily weigher, or you don't weigh?
Yes, I along the way, I sort of looked at foods that would affect my, not only my weight, but my health, how I felt. I felt, you know, I had something that I didn't feel good, I wouldn't have it. It's off the menu. And I weigh daily. It's not an issue for me. Some people, you know, they find it difficult to, you know, the scales can change their mood. It doesn't change mine. I get up in the morning, it's the usual routine, and I pop on the scales and fine, I'm done, and I move on. And I need to know my numbers, because if I've, you know, especially after vacation, I tend to look at, you know, because you are eating a bit more different foods when you're on holiday. So I like to look up my weight. If it's gone up a little bit during the holiday, a few days later it's gone. But if that weight was to be stable for a few days, then I know I need to look at what I'm eating. But yes, I do weigh daily.
You mentioned also, Ava, that you're sort of getting down towards that where you want to be with maintaining, or you're probably already nearly there. You sort of thought to yourself, well, hey, you know, what am I losing another 10 pounds? Now, let's talk about that for a minute, because I think a lot of us, when we lose an immense amount of weight, which you have, and I did as well, you get to that point where you think, you know what, I can push the envelope here. I can get down to that 10 pounds. But sometimes our bodies have that set point where they're saying, you know what, we're really great here. We look good. We feel good. You know, everything else is going well. You don't need to push that envelope and, you know, beat yourself up over that last 5 or 10 pounds. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. Because for me, this is a lifestyle. So the way I see it, if I'm doing what I'm doing, I just like to be in a goal range. I always say, you know, if I can keep within a 4 to 6 pound or 2 to 3 kilo range, then I'm okay. If I get to the high end of that range, I'll wind things back. I'll narrow my fast or down a bit, or sort of up my eating window, whichever way it's going, that range, whether it's down or up, that's how I control it, you know. So if it's down, then I'll eat more and broaden that out. And if it's up, well, then I'll tighten it up. And that's how I do it. But for me, a goal range is more important than a goal number. And I think that's something that people out there that are looking towards maintaining should consider, to think about a goal range rather than a goal weight. How do you feel about that, Ava?
Yes, I definitely look at a goal range. I'm not sort of focus on one particular weight. Yes, I'd like to lose probably a bit. I'm maintaining, first of all, I'm maintaining my weight perfect. I go up a couple of pounds here, a couple of pounds there. But I look at my weight and I want to stay under a certain weight. You know, if I'm 9 stone, I want to stay within 3 or 4 pounds of that. If I climb up to that weight, then I know I reduce my food and look at what I'm doing. So that's how I keep a track on it. And if I lose another 10 pounds, that's great, that's fantastic. But for me right now, it's the health benefits. I love the way, you know, I feel health-wise. My health is great. I've not been to the doctors 2 or 3 years. I've not been to the doctors, apart from having my jabs. I've not been to see the doctor. So for me, that's saying that I'm healthy. I don't have any issues with any underlying health issues. So as long as my weight stays as it is, and I know how to do that now, that's perfect. That's perfect for me.
Yeah, I think that's what's great about IF. It gives us those tools, doesn't it? You know, that we know that we have the confidence that we know what to do to be able to maintain it. Well, now, once you get down, I mean, if it takes another 3 or 4 years to lose that 10 pounds you want to do, then what's the difference? This is a lifestyle. You know, you're in no rush. It's something you're probably going to do for the rest of your life in some capacity, Ava. But Ava, I can't tell you how inspiring you've been once again today. You're an amazing person, and you're also a moderator of our Facebook group, The Fasting Highway, and you do such a great job and being so supportive of people in their journey. So anybody out there that wants to come and join the group, please do so. That's The Fasting Highway Facebook group. So just tell us about your moderation work and what you enjoy about that in the group.
Yes, thank you for inviting me to be a moderator. It's been a pleasure. I find it great. I find that to be able to, you know, to pass my knowledge on to the group, you know, to have people comment on my posts and, you know, and interact with people on the page. It's just been really good to be able to help and to be able to moderate in the group. And as I say, pass on, you know, you do a post and people comment on it, and it's great. It's great to be able to be involved in such a fast-paced growing fasting group, you know, and it's been a privilege, and I thank you again for inviting me to do that. It's been great.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, Ava, and you're a massive part of what we do, and obviously I started the group with my wife, Lou, and there was only two of us, and now we're heading towards 8,000 members, which is kind of crazy in a relatively short space of time, but I think we have a good vibe going here, and people, I think, starting out, they need to stay plugged in and they want to get some support they might not necessarily be getting at home, or if they find it tricky and they want to ask some questions, and that's the place to come to get it. But Ava, just before we go today, I just want to draw on your experience. There's somebody listening to this podcast that's going, you know, I really want to start this. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. What sort of words of advice could you give them, and just some wisdom about fasting itself and why it's so important to stay the course with it?
Yeah, I think once you find this lifestyle, don't complicate it. Don't look for things outside of fasting. It can be simple. You just find your jump on, whether it's 10 hours, whether it's 12 hours, just start somewhere. Most importantly, clean fast. That is so important. If I'd have found clean fasting at 2016, I'd have been way ahead now. So clean fasting is crucial, and be consistent, you know. Don't jump all around the place, and don't focus on weight, because once you start fasting, the health benefits you'll find will far outweigh your weight. Your weight will come down regardless, but the health of it, if a fasting, is so important. Be consistent, start somewhere, and clean fast. Those are my three things that I would tell anybody starting fasting. And don't compare your journey. A lot of people will, you know, compare the journey with other people. We're all different. And I love what you say, Graham. We're a journey of one. You say something like that. It's you are one person, and we're all different. Don't bother what anybody else is doing. Focus on you.
Yeah. I think that's great, Ava, the experimental one, as we say. And also, you know, I'd add to that, just be patient. This takes time. It took me 55 years to get as obese as I did. It took me 15 months to reverse it. So just be patient. Give it 6 to 12 months minimum. Evaluate it after that. And just every couple of months, just sit down and write down what's going on and see where you're at. Maybe tweak a few things if you need to. But like Ava says, have some consistency along the way. Don't jump around all over the place when you first start. Just stay in your comfort zone. Crank the fast up maybe by half an hour, 30 minutes to 60 minutes a day, maybe a couple of days a week until you get used to it. And once you get used to it, you get into a rhythm, you find a groove, and away you go. But Ava, thank you so much for joining me here again today. I really appreciated to catch up. And I'm sure everybody out there is going to love to hear from you again. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Ava. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with you, and thank you for sharing the update with us from your last time you're on the podcast. What an amazing journey you've had, and thank you for sharing all that insight and words of wisdom. And I'm sure you're going to inspire people right around the world with your story. And I look forward to catching up with you again in the near future on the Fasting Highway, and thank you for the moderation work that you do there. It's most appreciated. Okay, folks, as mentioned there, come and join us in the Facebook group, The Fasting Highway, if you want to get some inspiration and motivation to start. Also, as Ava mentioned there, you want to get some sort of insights into what it's like to live in an intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can do that through my book, The Fasting Highway. You'll find that on Amazon. It's in both paperback and Kindle. If you're in Australia or New Zealand, you can actually get it from me direct at www.thefastinghighway.com. Anyway, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.